Check, check. Good morning, good morning. Why don't we stand together, church? We're gonna get into worship. How many of you guys are just so glad that we get to gather on a Sunday morning and worship our Lord and Savior? We have the great privilege and honor every week to come into this place and lift our voices and lift our hands. And my prayer, my encouragement, my hope is that today we would encounter our loving Father. And so whatever the week has brought you, whatever the upcoming week is before you, that we would focus on just right now. I'm just believing that God is going to enter hearts this morning. Just begin receiving right now. Close your eyes. Just begin focusing on God. Let your heartbeat match His heartbeat. Jesus, we just thank You so much that You're in this place. We thank You so much that You love Your children. You love Your sons, Your daughters, God. No matter where we've been, no matter where we've come from, Your love is overflowing. Your love is something that we can get immersed in. And so today, this morning, God, I just pray that we would encounter Your love, we would encounter Your presence. We thank You, Jesus. We come to You with a thankful heart this morning. Yeah, even if you don't feel thankful, I just encourage you right now, just begin thanking the Lord. Begin thanking the Lord for breath in your lungs. Thank the Lord for the fact that you're able to get in your car this morning and drive here, that you're able to walk in the building, that you have a family that loves you. Thank the Lord that you have food in your cabinets. We all have something to be thankful for. And so today, God, we come to You with a thankful heart. We thank You, Jesus, that You're meeting us this morning. And we just praise Your name. We say amen, amen, amen. Let's worship, church.
the weight of anxiousness. When my fear is raging, I can't catch my breath. I will remember you are faithful still. You have carried me through deep waters, walk beside me through the fire.
Faithful still, you have closed the mouths of bigger lions.
up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. You're always better, you're always better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. You're always better, you're always better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. You're always better, you're always better. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, to do whatever you want to. And I will make room.
Put a lot on the line for us just to be able to have a relationship, and his way is better than ours, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. So if you're facing something that feels so big right now, I just want you to begin to put that thing down. Just lay it down for a minute and begin to thank God for the little things that we do have. Like sometimes Eric and I, when we feel a little overwhelmed, we'll start with thanking God for our kitchen table. Because, you know, thank God that we have a table even just to eat at, which then leads to, oh, thank you, Lord, that we have food to put on that table. And thank you, God, for the family that we get to have food for. And thank you, God, that I have a washer that works. Thank you, God, that I have, you know, a dryer that does its thing. And so I just want you guys just to begin to do that. Just begin to thank God for the little things, just for like the next 30 seconds. Thank you, Father, that your ways are bigger and better. God, that the way that you would handle a heart of another is so much better than the way that I would. Father, I just give all the distractions to you, all the other thoughts, God, that are swirling around. Father, I just pray and declare that you would bring peace in that place, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are our vision, that our sights would be kept on you no matter how big the circumstance seems to be in front of us, Lord. That even though there are giants, God, we see the milk and honey that you have in the background, Father. And even though we don't see it now, Father, that our faith would be steadfast at knowing that it's coming in Jesus' name. We just give this service to you. We say hallelujah, 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 amen. Go ahead and greet one another. Hug the neck of somebody you haven't seen in a week. And we'll resume in about 5 minutes.
Oh, good morning. I'm a dork. I'm tired. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see my sweet sisters and brothers in Christ. And I've been given the gift of doing the declaration. This morning, we're going to be doing the declaration for the heart of the house, because I fully believe that what we foster in our house is what we will pour out to our community. Amen. And we have to foster and we have to take care of what's in the house and declare Christ over what's in the house in order for us to declare it over our community in faith. Amen. So, if you'll stand with me, this is my first time doing it, so I don't have a rhythm to it, so please just bear with me. So we're going to start with, I declare that God is building our church. No, wait a minute. And he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord.
What did I miss?
That God is working in our waiting, that
Our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right mind, a right heart. We declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this service to you, Lord. We lift this body and the heart of this house to you, Lord, for you to have your will with it, Lord, and to have your way with it, Lord, and to lead us and direct us into our community to pour you out on it. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your provision that we can come to this house and we can worship you in freedom. And Lord, just in everything that we have, Lord, and we just thank you for it. And we pray for the speaker today, Lord, let his mouth open and your words come out, Lord. And we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we just have a few announcements. So March 16th, this is for the men. We are having a men's breakfast. And as we always say, this is a great opportunity for you guys to invite your coworkers, your family members, even young people. I've been telling our youth guys, hey, let's invade the men's space because you're men as well. And so last time we had a good group of guys. And so this is on the 16th, like I said, 8:30. We meet right here in this overflow area and everybody's invited. And so make sure you put that in your calendars. The next thing is, so as most of you know by this point, our church is in transition and we're moving to a new building in Sela. Praise God. So this is the address, and on March 24th, this is our first official Sunday in the building. And I would ask this, that you guys would just be praying with us in this transition. You know, there's a lot of moving parts, quite literally, but as well as spiritually. You know, there's three or two other churches involved in all this, and so let's not do this just flippantly. Let's do it with prayer. Let's do it with intention. And so, again, March 24th, if you come here, you're not going to see us. And so you're more than welcome to join that church, I guess. But March 24th, we'll be at that new church building. And we'll send out this address as well the coming Sundays. And then last but not least, we just want to thank everybody for giving, for giving your tithes, for giving your offering. You can give online. You can give in the boxes here. And we thank you for pouring into our house. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Pastor Mike.
All right, praise the Lord. Hey, I have, you're going to call these parting gifts, because we're going to be parting this house. These are some of these cutting boards that we were part of some kind of a ministry that was in town, and we would go and we paid like a monthly fee, and then we could go and we could just fill up carts full of stuff. And I think our eyes were bigger than our use at the time. But what we ended up over here is there's like a Christmas, kind of like a Christmas type thing in those boxes there. You can grab those. And one cutting board each, unless there's lots when this is all done. But these are really nice cutting boards. They can go right up to your sink, and you can sit on your sink and you can cut and then rinse it off. So they're free. Just take them, enjoy them, and sit it right here. All right. So yes, we are moving. Isn't that crazy? We have been here since 1997. I know some of you weren't born then, right? That's even pushing on you a little bit. Oh, close, getting close to you, Eric, isn't it? You were a teenager. Not a teenager? You were a child. Oh my gosh. That really makes me feel old. How many were born after 1997? The majority. Okay, well, we've been here a long time. And I was looking at like the records from last year, and it was the 26th of February that we had a meeting over there of 2023. So that's just a year ago. And at that time, we communicated where we were at financially, what was going on, and that to have everyone start to pray because we were going to be in the process of potentially selling the building. At that time, it was a potential. And so what ended up happening is, it must have been like that next Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, Eric went to breakfast with somebody. And he called me and said, hey, I think that Rick Jolly at Living Faith Victory Center might be interested in our building. And I said, oh, really? I haven't talked to Rick in a long time. So I gave him a call. And what ended up happening is he said, I said, hey, Rick, I heard from the grapevine, it was from his youth pastor, because he was with our youth pastor. I said, I heard that you were interested in a building. And he goes, oh, well, I don't know. He's very noncommittal. I don't know about that. I mean, it's like we've kind of talked about things. And so we just kind of had a little bit of conversation over the phone. And I told him, I said, well, this is what we're doing. We're having to sell our building. He said, oh, you are. And so his desire right at that moment was to come and take a look at the building. And he did that week. And then we ended up going to what's called Cannon Beach Retreat Center. And it's amazing because this week we're going again to Cannon Beach Retreat Center. So last year when we went, we ended up communicating with the district committee and just telling them, you know, what we're potentially doing. And we told them that time that Rick asked if he could be first on the building. And he says, you know, and they committed to it. So it took a year before he could finally get all the building plans, architects, he had engineers working, and so he finally got like a final line of what it was going to be able to purchase this building. And that was back in December. In December, I verbalized something that I'd kind of been burning in my heart, and because back in June, we had Pastor Ed go look at their building, because we were thinking about swapping the building with their building on Knob Hill. And so what ended up happening is that Pastor Ed looked at the building, talked to Rick, and realized that it was going to be, for us to do this, we were going to then have to have another heavy overhead, which right now we can't afford. It's just the way that things are. And so Pastor Ed and I were talking. He said, well, there might be something I can do, but, you know, maybe we'll just have to just sell the building to Rick, and then, you know, we'll try to, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I told him, Pastor, that's fine. I believe God has something for us. I'm not concerned. If we sell this building, God will supply. He's our source. He's always been our source. I'm not concerned about that. Well, he was a little more concerned about than I was. So that was June 23rd, the morning that I talked to him about that. Because he was busy. I couldn't talk to him about what he thought about the building when he looked at it. He loved Rick's building. Rick's building was really dilapidated when he bought it, and they made it look amazing. And so it would have been a great place for us, but it wasn't going to work out. So what ended up happening is that I was in town on Thursday, because I don't know if you guys know, but we used to come back and forth between Tri-Cities and Yakima. It's been so long since we've done it, but we did that for 4 years. And so we were just getting about ready to move back, and so we were kind of changing our schedule around. So I came back on a Thursday, and so that means that I was going to be able to mow on a Friday. Now, I know none of this really makes a lot of sense right now, but what ended up happening is I mowed this front yard here, and then I had this yard to do over here. And so to get ahead of the watering, I put the sprinkler out. Well, unbeknownst to me, there was a pastor and a congregation member having a coffee over at the coffee place that used to be there. It's something else now, some kind of deli type thing or what? Willow Cafe, there we go. And so they got done with coffee, and so they walked over to the Ace. And so while they looked at the Ace, said, oh, this building's not going to work for us, you know, and he's always kind of looking for a building. And so when they were walking back, if you look between this building and that and the house there, there's just a ledge. And he, for some reason, looked over this way, and he saw a sprinkler running. And he says, oh, that's a sprinkler, and that's a church. If there's a sprinkler there, somebody had to have set it down, you know. And so somebody must be, you know, either at the facility. He always likes talking to pastors anyways. He's very friendly and very, very outgoing in the body of Christ. So what ended up happening, him and his congregation member stood out in the parking lot and looked at me. And I'm mowing, and I'm like going, who are these people? So I stopped the mower, and I walked over. Hi, I'm Mike Lindell. Can I help you? He says, are you the pastor of this church? I said, yeah. And he says, we might be interested in renting it. So keep in mind, this is June now, so Rick's been starting to work on a plan, seeing if he can get this building. So I spent about 45 minutes with Pastor Joel great guy, and him and I really kind of connected and told him that, you know, if this falls through, that we can go ahead and have you second. You guys can take a look at it. He said, that's great. And so it was really interesting. I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is really weird, because just this morning, Pastor Ed and I said that looks like that door was closing. And so I'm thinking, what's happening here? I already started seeing like something really like strange going on, you know, because the timing of God sometimes is just like a miracle in just, you know, in certain situations. And so I was thinking, okay, Lord, you might be doing something here. So it was about 2 months later I found out from him that him and I finally went out to coffee, because the more I thought about him, the more I just wanted to have like just a relationship with him. Pastor Rick and I, when I got here in July, started having coffee every single Thursday and just became very, very dear friends. And so I wanted to have this kind of relationship with Pastor Joel. This is the church in Selah. This is the pastor in Selah. Rick is the pastor at Living Faith Victory Center. So what ended up happening is we had coffee finally, and we met, and it was like, wow, there's a connection here. I mean, it was like 2 hours, and we just were going back and forth, sharing each other's hearts and realizing God had been doing something in him miraculous, as he's been doing in me. And so it's like, you know, it's very encouraging to know that God is working in someone's life, and you've had him challenge your life and change you and create different types of situations in your life where you have to like, okay, I'm hitting a brick wall here. God, what's going on? What do you want me to do now? So what ended up happening is he went his way, and we said, okay, we'll get back together again, you know, sometime. Well, unbeknownst to me, he was going to be going to see someone at at some kind of mission deal down in the Gap. And he was coming back on I think it was a Friday or something, and he gets a phone call. It's another pastor in town, says, hey, I hear that you might be looking for a building. He goes, oh, I'm always looking for a building. This is Joel now. He's getting a call from another pastor. He says, well, where is it? He says, give him the address, Cornell and Washington. He says, I'm right there right now. He goes, I'm pulling in. And the guy's going, you should go to the front. I'm at the door right now. He's saying, you should go to the door. And so he met Pastor Rick. And so, again, this was a week after we had coffee. And so it's like, okay, you know, I don't know anything about this at this time. So he's going and he's touring the building, everything, and he just knows that this is a pastor and that somebody told him to go look at this building. And him being in front of it at the time really made him think something might be going on here. So what he ended up doing was sitting down with Pastor Rick in his office, and Pastor Rick said, yeah, we're looking at another building. We have engineers and architects looking into it. He says, oh, you're looking at One Life Family Worship. He goes, how did you know? He says, well, I didn't let you know. He didn't tell me. He said that it was confidential. He didn't tell me who it was, but he said that there were architects and engineers working on it. Because when Pastor Joel was here, we'd walk around. I'd say, yeah, another church is looking at this. But I can't tell you the name, but they have engineers and architects working. So when he heard that, that's what made him think, oh, that's the church Mike Lindell is at, One Life Family Worship. And so what ended up happening is that they connected, and it was like, I think another 2 weeks that I then heard that testimony from Joel. So then Joel and I started going coffee more, and Rick and I were going to coffee, and it just seemed like there was like this divine connection that was happening. So I think it was finally in December that I was talking to Pastor Rick, because one time we had mentioned that we might be able to swap buildings. And I told him the only way we could swap buildings if we did an equity swap. And so what ended up happening, we met for that and we talked about it. And the thing that really I want you all to get is that there is a heart of preference for each other like I've never seen before. Like Pastor Rick goes, where, you know, or Pastor Joel goes to Pastor Rick, where's Mike going to live? Because we live in the parsonage. And Pastor Rick says, they don't have to move right now. I don't need to do anything with that for like a year. And he's assured me of that. And, you know, said, he comes up to me, listen, you don't have to move right away. So we have like a year in the parsonage. We're going to help pay for some expenses and do some things like that. But the idea that each and every one of us is trying to make sure that when we all start on the 24th, every church is going 100%. That nobody is like, oh, well, we took this stuff and you can't have. I mean, it's like, what can we do to make sure that everybody is fully functioning that day? So we're taking 100 of our chairs over. Pastor Joel's going to use like another 100 and something over at his church until his chairs come in. And so there's just this, it's like a community of faith. And I'm telling you, this is a miracle of God. Just if you look at the timing, the day that the door closed for us to be able to go to potentially live in faith, it closed. Here comes Pastor Joel through the door out on the parking lot. So what I'm encouraging you guys to realize here is that we're not just moving, you know, because it was something that we came to a closed door with finances and we said we've got to do something. But we're not moving just because of that reason. We're moving because God's doing something. This is more than just about buildings. I believe this is about the city that we pray for and we declare over all the time. And this is a start of something. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. I don't know what our connection will be with Life Church now and what our connection will be with Living Faith Victory Center, but I have a feeling it's going to be very close. And our hearts are going to be knit, and we're going to be praying for each other. We're going to be believing for God to reach Yakima through us. Amen? Right now, I just want to pray for those two churches. Father, we just lift Life Church and Pastor Joel and Pastor Caleb, Lord, and all the leadership teams, Father, at that church. Father, we pray your blessing upon them, God. Thank you, Lord, for their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they love you first of all, Lord. And because they love you so much and you've loved them, Lord, that they love others, Lord. And they've shown that love to us, Lord. They've shown that care to us, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, we ask you to bless them, Lord, as they move into their new building, God. We pray that you would just fill it, Lord, with people that are hungry, Lord, for your word, hungry for your truth, Lord. Lord, that they will have their families restored and have lives restored, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would heal people there, Lord. You would break addictions there, Lord. We just bless right now Life Church and all the individuals, Lord, that go there and call that place home. We thank you, Lord, that they are part of our body, Lord, of the overall body of Christ, that they are brothers and sisters, Lord. Even though they may live in another house, Lord, they are our brothers and sisters, Lord. So we thank you for them. We bless them. Lord, we bless Pastor Rick, Lord, and Josh and the full team, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just touch Living Faith Victory Center, God, that, Lord, even today, Lord, as he's sharing, Lord, the vision, Lord, and trying to communicate what's going on with all of this stuff to his congregation, Lord, I pray you give him words to speak and give him wisdom, God. And I pray, Lord, that the fire of God would fill that house, Lord. Lord, as they've been seeking the move of the Holy Spirit, Lord, don't let them be disappointed, God. Let them be filled with the Spirit in a new way, a new dimension, God. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that giftings and healings and the miracles of God would be in that house, Lord. We pray, Lord, for just wisdom for all of us, Lord, as we move forward in this venture. And we thank you, God, that you're the one that's doing the work in us, Lord, and we can be faithful and as you're faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. How does it change?
Yeah, because we're praying for the city of Yakima.
Well, when I say Yakima, I'm always thinking Yakima Valley. I'm not just thinking of, you know, the border that goes out to West Valley and goes to, you know, where it stops in East Valley. When I say Yakima, I'm thinking of all the way down to Prosser. I'm thinking all the way into, Weenass and wherever the Yakima borders go. I'm always thinking that. That's why we have that map out there. So that's a good question, though. I mean, we can add Yakima Valley if we need to, but I don't think we're called just to Selah. I don't think we're called just to, we're called to where our hearts connect with people. You know, if we have people that, if we have people that, as you know, we have loved ones in Utah that they're still like children to us in the faith. And so, I mean, you know, there's no distance in the spirit. So, but I know that some folks feel like Yakima is Yakima City proper, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm here to tell you that we're called to the Yakima Valley, at least right now. Is that what you're saying? Does that make sense?
Their heart is valley, right? I mean, I just kind of sense that. And church down in Toppenish, Ranger, and area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also what we're praying for when we say reaching out to all at a time.
Right.
So I'm just, that I, when we were doing that today, it would be hard for us to say it over our own church, our body, this body. But I'm just wondering, you know, the declaration. I think that the sitting one.
We can do that. Yeah. For the valley. Do you have something, Eric? Oh, okay. All right. Good. That's good. Let's go ahead. I usually get this. Yes. Bob, you have a question. Go ahead, Bob. I'm going to be doing this while you're doing that otherwise. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Bob, no one can hear you. Go ahead, or at least not no one, but some.
You need to turn it off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people can't hear very good.
Obviously, the doors are open. The Lord has opened doors that no man could close, and... So he's leading us, but we got to remember to follow the cloud by day and the fire by night.
Amen.
And this one verse comes to me, this three verses come to me. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered. And let them that hate thee flee before thee." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many of the thousands of Israel." So we are that Israel in the desert, you know, and he's leading us. So that's Numbers, the end of Numbers 10. So I just wanted to...
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
So let me give a backstory on that so you guys know what he means by the cloud. When the Exodus happened, that's when the children of Israel, you can read about this in Exodus, when they left the place of Egypt and they took all the spoils and they became a great nation, what ended up happening is God revealed himself to them by a pillar of fire and a cloud. And so he presided over them through their whole 40 years in the wilderness as a cloud by day. Can you imagine being another nation and seeing this cloud? And then at night, it became a pillar of fire. So it must have been a pretty wild view. And so what he's saying, when the cloud moved or the fire moved, Israel moved. And so what's happening now is God is moving us, not necessarily just to a new location, but he's also moving us in the spirit. He's moving us into it like a new place, a new position. And not necessarily location-wise, but I believe in the spirit that he's going to open up doors that we haven't seen open yet. You know, maybe in hearts and lives, maybe in family members. You don't know. I don't know everything God's doing in this, but I do know he's doing something. He's been working in me. He's been working in a lot of us. I know that you can see the stirring in the spirit, you know, not just in our congregation, but in the entire valley. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's see if I can get through this. Oh, I do want to share one a verse, and we'll see if I do get to this, because once I start sharing these verses, I may end up going different, but I'm just going to read this. This is... Galatians 6:9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. In other words, we shall receive back what we've sowed if we do not lose heart. I was thinking about this verse this morning, and the idea behind this verse is that you can grow weary in well-doing. You can get to the place where you start feeling like, oh man, what good is it to keep trying to be a Christian? Just a very basic right there. What good is it to try? Because it seems like every time I try to do something, I end up falling. I end up failing. I end up, you know, losing the joy of my salvation. I've got to go back or, you know, I'm in the wilderness or whatever it may be. But I'm telling you, if we don't grow weary in well-doing, if we can say, you know what, it may be hard now, but I'm going to keep climbing this mountain because I know there's a peak that I'm going to get to. I'm going to be able to see around. I'll have God's perspective, but I have to, you know, I have to claw my way up it. Because it's, the thing is that the Christian walk, and unfortunately, a lot of times it's sold to people that it's a real easy life. And his yoke is easy, his burden is light, but his life doesn't mean that life's just going to be easy. But it does mean that we have some place and someone to cast our cares on. That, like what the world has to do, that don't know Christ, that don't know God, they have to carry all the burdens. They have to carry the weight of everything. Before I knew Jesus, when I was carrying the weight of everything, I was getting inebriated. I was doing things to alter my state so I didn't have to think about these things. That I didn't have to carry the weight of all the stuff that I kept seeing and experiencing, and all the emptiness and loneliness I felt, all of those things that came with not knowing God. I had to do things to try to relieve it. But when I came to Christ, it's like all of a sudden, well, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God came in me, and all of a sudden, there was a peace. And I didn't need those things. I mean, no one told me you can't go and do it. I just knew I didn't need them anymore because I had the real source of joy. I had the real source of peace. I had the real source, using words, of spiritual high. I mean, it was like, at times I felt like, wow, it feels like I'm high. But I'm not high because it's God in me. It's the Spirit of God in me. So what am I saying? Don't grow weary in well-doing because in due season we receive reward. You know, after a while, there's some drudgery that came to my Christian walk. And it was like, oh, this is hard. Especially when, you know, you have events that happen in your life. You know, when I went through a divorce almost 35 years ago, or however long it was, a long time. You know, it was like I thought my ministry, if I had any kind of ministry hopes, was completely done. I thought, you know, this is not going to be, you know, a ministry filled life. This is just going to be, you know, I'm going to do what I can to help, but I mean, I can't be a pastor or anything like that. All these things went through my mind. Not that I wanted to be a senior pastor. That never entered my mind until God put it there, that wild thought. But anyway, what ended up happening is I had to realize and go back to the source. I had to go back to the source that first gave me my peace. I had to stay anchored in Him. I had to stay resting in Him. I didn't know all the terminology. All I knew is that I couldn't go anywhere else but God. You know, and so I went to church. I went to Bible studies, had Bible studies. I just did everything I could to fill my life spiritually with things. Doesn't mean I wasn't like, you know, empty. And, you know, I felt like, you know, if anybody goes through a divorce, what ends up happening? It feels like you've been literally had a sword and cut you in two. And you're like half there. And it's like, it's horrible. But God healed my heart over a couple of years. And then He brought this wonderful joy into my life. We were brought into each other's lives. We were restored. We both went through the same thing about the same time, but God saw that these two souls, these two lives needed to be connected together. He didn't plan it that way. He didn't plan for what both of our spouses did. He wanted these relationships to be good, but He had a new plan A. I'm telling you, when your life gets turned around and you think, well, this, you know, all my dreams are done, God creates a new plan A. He doesn't do a plan B. It's a new plan A. It's like, okay, what the enemy meant for evil here, I've got a new plan A. Like when Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers, I mean, that was the enemy that did that to him. That was the work of the enemy. But God said, you know what? You threw him into the pit. I've got a new plan A now. I don't know how he would have gotten him to Egypt and to deliver, but when they did that evil work, what they meant for evil, God says, now I've got a new plan A. And then when he went to Potiphar's house and everything looked like it was going good and he was going to, you know, continue to rise up in Egypt, and then Potiphar's wife, you know, tried to seduce him and he had to basically run from her and it took his cloak, and then he ends up in prison because she falsely accuses him. God says, okay, enemy, you brought something. I got a new plan A. Now he's in prison. I got a new plan A. And then these butlers and this baker come to him, candlestick maker. You guys know the story. No, you guys don't know it. What ends up happening is they come in. They've been, I said the baker baked a bad croissant that day. And the king goes like, wow, this is bad. I'm going to send you. And I don't know what the butler did. But anyway, they both end up in prison with Joseph. And Joseph thinks, okay, you know, nice to meet you guys. I'm just interpreted your dreams. So now I'm going to be restored. No, they go back. Their dreams are fulfilled, but they forget him. 2 more years he sits in prison. And God says, okay, I've got a new plan A. I'm going to give Pharaoh a dream. And that dream's going to cause Joseph from going to the prison to the palace. He's going to go from being in a dungeon to being leading second to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. He was on the eve of greatness and he didn't realize it. You think about the thief on the cross with Jesus and what happened to him. He's like the worst day of his life, right? He's now being crucified. That's got to be horrible. But he looks at Jesus and says, Lord, just remember me when you come into your paradise. He says, oh, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He says, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. So his worst day of his life became his best day of his life. So don't grow weary. If Joseph would have gone weary in that process, would he have been where he was? I don't know. But he did finally receive his due reward. So we've gone through struggles as a body through the years. Financially, people coming and going, you know, just an ebb and flow, which can sometimes be natural in families. But there's been sometimes a weight that I carry. I don't tell everybody about it, but sometimes there's a heaviness, especially sometimes when people that you love, they leave and they don't tell you anything. They don't tell you why they're leaving. It's like, what happened there? I thought we had a relationship. And so you kind of can take on a weariness. You can take on a heaviness, you know? And what ends up happening is if you let that heaviness hold you, you then can be drawn down to the place where God doesn't have a chance to reward you. That's why it says this. That's why it's so clear. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Losing heart. That's kind of what can happen. But I'm telling you, don't let it happen to us. Because we have a hope in God. We have a hope of salvation. The very least, if your life's in the toilet, I like to say, remember, if you're saved, you are ultimately sealed by the Holy Spirit for eternal redemption, eternal salvation. If nothing else you can count on, that right there you can count on right now. And that's glorious because this is a temporal life. This is but for a moment, a vapor. That's it. According to eternity, that's all it's going to feel like. Another verse for you here. 2 Thessalonians. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Again, this is Paul, same communicator. Don't grow weary in doing good. Because you can add the next part, because you're going to receive something in the end if you remain faithful. And then here's another one, Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance so that you, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. I feel like this is kind of us receiving a promise. I feel like this is like God saying, you know what, you guys held in there. You guys remained faithful to me. And the only reason we were able to remain faithful is because faithfulness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so his faithfulness lives in me, lives in Gay, lives in a lot of us. And we say, you know what, Lord, you're faithful. We can remain faithful. We don't know all the answers. We know how you're going to work it all out. Like when I told Pastor Ed, if we sell the building, God's got a place for us. God's got a place for One Life Family Worship. And it may have been in, you know, it may have been in a basement somewhere. It doesn't matter. If it's God leading us, it would have been his grace upon it. And if God's leading you somewhere, there's a grace for you to walk in. If you're going through a struggle right now, maybe you're going through a struggle in your marriage. Maybe you're going through a struggle in relationship with your parents or in relationship with someone else in your life or at work. There's a grace for you to walk through this difficulty right now. And if you don't grow weary in well-doing, in other words, if you don't go weary in saying, God, I receive your grace. I'm going to continue to walk in this difficulty. You will receive your reward. You'll receive the end of your promise in that particular situation. And then you'll have to do it again sometime. It's not like you just go one time in life and you go through a difficulty. We're going to suffer in this life. In this life, you will have what? Tribulations. Right? In this life, you're going to have problems, Jesus is saying. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, if we receive Christ, there's an overcoming power that lives in us. There's an overcoming power that lives in you. That you don't have to just put up with the situations in your life. What do you mean by that? I mean that if you're in a situation, you don't have to just say, well, this is my lot in life. No, you can say, I have God in me. And because of God in me, I don't have to feel the pressures of the moment. I don't have to feel like my whole world's closing in on me because God's in me. His grace is working in my life. These are truths that are part of our basic Christianity. They're Christianity 101. The grace of God empowers us to do what we can't do ourselves. The grace of God gives us the ability to walk through difficulties. You know, in their day, you know what they were walking through? They were walking through being, you know, fired from work. They were walking through having their friend or their loved one stoned to death or burned at the stake. That's what Christianity 101 was like in their day. But we got it easy. Maybe. Maybe we don't have it that easy. Maybe the problem is that we have it so much abundance that we take for granted what we truly have, and that's eternal life. Where they, in other countries that don't have very much, they treasure eternal life. They don't take it for granted because they don't have anything else to cling on to. And it's eternal life that we have that's going to reach this city. It's the life of God in us. It's not some well put together scripted word, you know, that causes people to, you know, to feel like they've been, you know, pigeonholed into, you know, oh, I got it. No, it's going to be the love and life of God, the eternal life that we exude through living that people will come to. They'll be drawn to us just like they were drawn to Jesus. But if we grow weary in well-doing, if we go like faint while we're doing good, guess what? After a while, the eternal life doesn't flow. We don't get to experience, obviously others aren't going to. Right? If we can't experience this true eternal life, how are others? If we can't live as heaven is our source, how can we give someone else heaven as their source? Right? Unless we have a relationship with God that's vibrant and alive, how can we give that to someone else? And that's what Christianity is, a relationship with God. Someone was telling me this morning, they said this, they said, basically, they were calling Jesus cute. And they said, I think it's okay. I said, that is like having an intimacy where you like have daddy, Abba, Father. That is good. That you can be that in love with Jesus, that you see his cuteness as well as his glory, as well as his majesty, as well as his humility. There's many attributes to him. And the more we get to know about him, the more real he is to us. We don't see him now. We'll see him someday. Right now, we have to walk this walk by faith. And that's why it's easy to grow weary in well-doing. Because it's like, I don't see you, Jesus. Sometimes I don't feel you. But you know what? Your word says that you are faithful and true. And you know what? I can think about maybe 10 years ago, you were faithful and true. And if you were faithful and true then, hopefully it's not 10 years before you've seen his faithfulness. But if you have to go back that far, if you remember when he saved you, if that's all you can do, go back to when he saved you. Try to remember for a moment the darkness that you were in. Try to remember for a moment the way that your life was in a shambles. Because mine was. Maybe your guys's weren't. Maybe everything was perfect in your life. And then that kind of explains it. Because those who are forgiven much and saved from much love much. You know, if you haven't been saved from anything, then sometimes it's easy to say, did I even need God? We need him desperately. We need him more than we need the breath that we breathe. And until we have this in our heart, guess what? We'll take him for granted. I can take God for granted just as much as you. Even though I can be like on fire on Sunday, sometimes my life gets so busy that you start taking his presence for granted. I've been doing some work around the church here, and someone said, oh, you're alone today doing this. I said, no, I'm never alone. And I just said, he's always with me. And I want to be doctrinally true when I speak. Jesse, he's a single man, and he many times tells me that he's not alone. He can sometimes be lonely, but he's not alone. See, this is the kind of framework that we need to change our thinking so that we don't grow weary in well-doing. See, if you don't have the truth, it's easy to grow weary. If you don't have the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit working in you, it's easy to grow weary in well-doing. I think it was those great visions that Joseph had when he was a child that got him through all of that. They were like words that he remembered in his heart. Lord, you spoke to me back then. I'm believing that this is going to come to pass. I don't care what my life looks like right now. I'm believing that you're going to honor what you spoke. Amen? Every single one of you in here has a calling. Every single one of you has a divine purpose and destiny for your life. May not be standing up on Sunday morning sharing. And I don't even know if this is as important in the kingdom. It says that those who are least in the kingdom of God are great. In other words, or those who are least among the eyes of all the people are the ones that are greatest in the kingdom of God. In other words, the ones that you don't even see. Maybe the grandmas that can't even make it to church because of their health. Yet all they do is stay home and pray. They might be the mightiest kingdom people that we've ever met. You never know. But all of you have a plan that God has for you. All of you have a destiny, a divine destiny. But you can't grow weary in living your life. You can't grow weary in pursuing that destiny. Because you don't know what might come someday. All of a sudden, you're maybe looking like, what just happened? How did we go from you know, almost, you know, $400,000 in debt to having a building that's paid for and, you know, owing Grace a little bit of money, but all of a sudden we have a liberty to do something. I was telling the team, I'd like to see that if we can start praying and finding a mission that's part of the Grace International and the helping missions. That finally, once, you know, because I couldn't do that when we couldn't pay all our bills to pay our building payment, you know, unless you got your own house in order, why go, you can't do something else. But our house is starting to come into order, and it's through the grace of God. And I believe it's because as a congregation, we didn't grow weary in well-doing. We said, Lord, we're going to continue to believe. We're going to continue to remain faithful because you're faithful to us. And that's the truth in your life. He's remaining faithful to you. Read this Hebrews one more time. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. And what is your confidence? What have we been learning? Your confidence is Christ himself. You can't conjure up some kind of confidence to get this to work out. Your confidence is Jesus himself. Don't cast him aside. Embrace Jesus, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. We do. We have need of endurance because life is long. Seems short for us as we're getting older, but life is long. So that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Ultimately, to be with him. To be with each other in a place that none of us can even imagine how amazing it is. No Marvel movie, no sci-fi movie can even do justice for what it's going to look like in glory. I mean, you just take your moment, you try to imagine what would be the most amazing thing that you could ever think of, and God says it's greater than that. It says the mind of man can't imagine or think the things that God has in store for those who love him. So what I want all of us to do over the next, you know, 3 weeks, I think it's going to be, 3 Sundays. Is that right? 3 Sundays. I want us all to be asking God, what is it we're to be faithful in the coming days? What is it that this move is meaning? What is the cloud telling us, as Bob was saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us in this day? I don't want to just, Pastor Mike, I'm telling you exactly, you know, I want it to where we're in agreement. There's a heart. There's like, oh, I see God doing this. I see God doing that. But to do that, you're going to have to seek him. And I think you have the verse for that, don't you? Is it 29:11 or 13? Jay asked me about that today. Years ago, she got me one of those bookmarks. You know, you can get Bible bookmarks. And it had this verse on it. It's Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me. And I'll add this. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And you will seek me. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. What's all our hearts? All of us have to answer that ourselves. I can't tell you what all your heart is. Because it may not look like what all my heart is. Or it may not look like somebody else next to you all your heart is. There's another scripture that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's always one like, Lord, is there a time that you won't be found? We don't know. We know it's an encouragement for us to seek the Lord while he may be found. And I believe these are days that he may be found. Amen. Does anyone else have anything the Lord's putting on their heart? Oh, there we go. No, hang on. Yeah, you have to. You have to.
This is so cool. The minute you said that scripture kind of skewed me a little bit because it was so perfect too. But while we were worshiping, I will make room for you. My thought was that it's up to each one of us, to you, to me, to Patrick. If we say, make room, we'll make room for you, we have to mean it. We have to know what we're saying. And how you make room is to bring things to the Lord. And he's not scary. If it's something that you're going through, just tell him. If your heart, I think he's looking after heart attitudes right now. Right, mine. Heart attitudes towards, okay, what's coming? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, we're supposed to be seeking him and loving him. And then from that, the love that we give out is from him.
Amen.
You know, it's up to us. It's up to me. It's up to Gay. It's up to Patrick. It's up to all of us to individually seek him to find out where are we going, what's going on. And knowing that it doesn't matter if he's leading and if our hearts are right, then it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So it's up to us. And he can be found.
Right.
We have to believe that he can be found. And we believe that if we seek him.
Oh, now Gay's got something.
Well, going along with what Debbie said is that song that we were singing, when we were singing it, I Will Make Room for You, I got to thinking, because we'd been working and cleaning, and there was not much room to be had because it was so full. But as you're making room, it's however much room you make, right? So you could give Jesus just a portion of your heart and not let him have the whole space. You could give Jesus a portion of your life and him only have the portion you gave. So we need to be very careful and understand that how much we want of Jesus is how much we give him. We have to give him all the room he needs in order to work in us. And James, thank you for that song this morning. I love that song, but never more than I did today as we were singing it, because it was so powerful, because I realized there's times I don't give him much room. And I'm in control of that. And I don't want to be in control of that. I want him to take all the room he needs.
Amen. Anyone else? No one? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the God that opens doors that no man can close and closes doors that no man can open. And Lord, we know that as you're leading us, there's some trepidation, there's some unknowns and just kind of normal potential anxiousness that all of us could feel. Lord, your word says that to be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplications and with thanksgiving, Lord, to make a request to God. And it says the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to guard our hearts and our minds. So, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to make room for you in our lives so that this move isn't just a change in locations, Lord, but it's something new in the Spirit. It's something new that you're doing in each and every one of us. Lord, I just bless everyone right now in this place and hearing my voice with just a fresh fire for God, a fresh hunger for the things of God, a fresh desire to hear your voice, a fresh desire to be led by the Spirit. Lord, we just ask, as you've opened the door for this new location in Selah, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to you. We choose to open our hearts to you this morning, Lord. We say, work, Lord, in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to make room for you. Help us, Lord, to see, Lord, your grace working in our lives, doing supernatural things above and beyond even all we could imagine ourselves. We just thank you, Lord, for the coming days. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing now in our lives. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just continue to lead and guide and direct us, Lord, in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. To move us beyond who we've been at this point. Move us into what he's calling each and every one of us to. As a body, but each and every one of us too, individually. Because I believe we will see in the coming days his glory. We will see his power working in our lives, working in your family's lives. Start praying for your family. Start praying for your coworkers. Start praying for your neighbors. Just say, Lord, just touch them. That's all you have to say. Lord, just bless them. Or Lord, show them your truth. It can be just simple. You don't have to work up a froth. Just ask God, mention their name before them and see what he does. I believe that as you just do that little simple step, you'll see as you're making room for him, he'll make room in your life for all kinds of miracles. And you'll go, wow, what are you doing, God? And he'll say, we're just getting started. Amen. Make sure you go over and get a few things. Love you. Have a great day.